Hello and welcome to the First Impressions podcast. I'm your host, Martin McKay, and along with my friend, Chris John Riley, we record the official podcast for the Forum of Incident Response and Security Teams. We look forward to seeing you this year at the 37th Annual FIRST Conference in Copenhagen, Denmark. The dates are June 22nd through June 27th, 2025. And now we join our interview in progress.
Welcome to the show. This time, Martin and myself are talking to Cornelia Putzer from Switch Cert. Also, Cornelia is the co-chair for the first SIG on human factors in security. Cornelia, welcome to the show.
Hello, it's great to be here.
You're going to be giving a talk at the upcoming FIRST conference in Copenhagen, talking about social engineering and the age of AI. Can you give us a quick rundown about what you're going to be covering in your talk?
Sure. So basically, I'm from that little niche in the whole security domain called human-centered security. And I'll be talking about how we've basically kind of failed users in educating them about social engineering. And so what we're arguing is that so far, we've mainly concentrated on trying to teach people to watch out for specific rule-based things such as, you know, writing style, images, or those kind of things. But we've never really explained to them how social engineering actually works, kind of on the meta level. And if you look at it as something that's as old as humankind, basically, trying to trick people, it's much easier to defend it. And it's much easier to develop effective training, which basically looks at how we get manipulated. And that's nothing technical at all, or nothing to do with technology, but it's basically using emotions to manipulate us.
So you're saying that all along we've been teaching people to just use the purely mechanical types of controls and understanding of phishing, not the actual psychology behind it?
Pretty much that. So if you look at a lot of the training, and I mean, we've been doing security awareness for a long time, right? I think we're going back, I don't know, probably 20 years maybe. And if you look at the amount that is being invested in security awareness training, it's actually quite a lot. And if we then look at how the human factor still remains the biggest threat, there's really only one way of saying maybe we haven't, you know, approached this in the best way. And social engineering is obviously just one aspect of how attackers get in, which we call sort of the defense side of things. So how can we teach people to become more resilient? And obviously there's also the prevention side. And in my talk, I'll be only talking about social engineering and kind of teaching people how to defend themselves against social engineering attacks. And by that, I really mean all forms of social engineering. That's another thing that we see in training a lot, that we have, you know, an e-learning on phishing, then we have one on smishing, on vishing, on whatever the term is. Usually it's a technical term that we use in the security domain, but that doesn't really speak to people. Because in the end, what criminals are doing is they're manipulating our emotions, right? So the classic thing is authority, for example. The CEO scam works that way, where you just put on a lot of pressure and you override the critical system one thinking. If we go with the very basics of behavioral psychology that has been around for quite some time, the most famous researcher being Daniel Kahneman, who introduced this idea that we as humans have two ways of thinking. So we have system one thinking, which is the most prevalent way of thinking, which is emotional, reactive, and automatic. All of us think in this system most of the time because it's very energy efficient and our brains need a lot of energy to function. And when we kind of go into the rational and deliberate thinking, it's called system two thinking. So usually when we do something that we do all the time, we are in system one thinking. So think about it. How many times a day do you have to click on a link? Hundreds of times, right? Usually. And usually there's nothing wrong with it. So it's kind of, we usually have an automatic response to it. And the problem is that Sometimes we need to be able to go into the system to thinking to actually even be rational and deliberate. And so if we look at social engineering attacks, criminals are the good ones, especially when they do it over the phone or with the face swapping that you can now do very easily to enter video calls, video conferences. They are trained to really go full on the emotions. So they exploit your emotive responses to urgency, fear, or excitement. And that way you're really trapped in the system one thinking. So you just react and you don't access or you don't have access to the rational system two thinking where you would go, oh, hang on a second. Is this even plausible? Does this make sense? I'm feeling a lot of pressure here. Maybe I should step back from this. And that's basically what people like myself are sort of advocating for, to teach people the adversarial mindset, which is a very common common principle, I think, in the cyber domain. But to teach them the adversarial mindset of social engineering, where you say, okay, so criminals exploit the emotions. They also exploit the workplace dynamics. So very often we're in, you know, an environment with very tight deadlines. We rely on email a lot. We also trust in authority a lot. Depending on the environment, sometimes it's even really bad to question authority. So you would never dare to ask back and say, hey, did you really write this email? Or are you really on this call? Or boss, are you really, you know, asking me for what I'm supposed to be doing? And of course, the whole part of OSINT that has become much, much cheaper and much more automated in this day and age of Gen AI being so widely available. So the way around it is really to teach people a lot more about how criminals work, the tricks they're using, and maybe also to do this in a way that uses a lot less sort of IT jargon or IT security jargon even, and just teach this in a way that so that people learn this just the way that people have been learning this all along in the analog world. And it's just, the problem now is it's just much harder to spot. And people, for whatever reason, are kind of more trustworthy in the digital space than they are in the analog world.
Talking about the system one, system two, and changing a little bit of how we teach people about scams online in the new age. When you train people to understand how these attacks work, does it change their system one thinking, or is there still this gap between system one reactionary and system two? It seems more like training would help them when they hit their system two, where they actually take a step back and think, wait a minute, is this real? Are we actually going to change people's system one immediate reactions?
So that's a really good point. So basically what we have to teach people to so that they understand that they can switch from system two thinking into system one. So it's, there are things in mindfulness techniques where you have, for example, a method that is called the stop method, where you basically pause and breathe. And it's literally, breathing is the most effective way to kind of breathe out. And if there's someone on the phone shouting at you, to literally say, hey, sorry, I need to call you back. Give me your number. I'll call you back. I just need to quickly step away or whatever. And that way you have literally the time to breathe, calm down, and check your emotions. And if you realize that you're really agitated, then it's probably a good way to basically either do some more breathing exercises or to just kind of literally give yourself 5 or 10 minutes, because there's nothing as urgent that doesn't, where you can't have 5 or 10 minutes kind of to take time to think about it. And then in that time to check a different channel, for basically ask someone close by, look, I just had this phone call, or this just this person just is just standing outside and this person wants this, but I'm not sure. Can you go through this with me and double check whether this is plausible or not? And that way you kind of teach people to basically step away from being manipulated. It's really interesting because my uncle, who's in his late 70s, he recently got scammed with cryptocurrency, like one of the cryptocurrency scams. And it was really interesting because he didn't tell me about this. I just found out because he was visiting me, and suddenly he was just on a really strange phone call. And I kind of eavesdropped on him. And then afterwards I said, sorry, who are you talking to? But the interesting thing that he said was, as he was transferring the money, he kind of realized, or even before, he kind of thought, he realized that this is some sort of a scam, but he wasn't quite sure. And he was, because he had already kind of invested at an earlier time, he kind of tried to get that money back, right? Yeah. So, and I think this is really interesting, because he had a gut feeling that there's something wrong, but he didn't have the training to basically say, if you have that gut feeling, you immediately stop interacting with that person, because that person is really professional in getting you to do exactly what you want them to do. And I think that's there's a study about this as well, which is really interesting. Talked to a lot of people who've been scammed, and most of them said they had sort of a feeling that they are being scammed, but still fell for it, right? And I think it's because we just can't react in that moment, because we kind of have that hope and we kind of think, ah, okay, but you know, there is a slight chance of getting the money. And these people are really trained to get us to basically give them our money or whatever. And I think only if we really teach this is in a way a rule, a very strict rule, to say, whenever you have that gut feeling, you break off the phone call, or you break off the contact that you have, and get that pause, and then act on it later. And obviously that requires, in an organizational context, that also requires a change of culture.
I have to ask, Cornelia, how many of us who've been in this industry for years have made that switch from it being a system two type thinking to it being system one, where we look and automatically kind of make that pause? And because of that, we never think of teaching that to the end user, to teaching that to the people that we're working with, because we automatically think about it. We expect them to do the same.
I think there's definitely some truth in it, because I don't have a technical security background, and I've only been working in this domain for probably 3.5 years or something like that. And my friends who are non-techies and non-security people, they all joke about how I've become the most paranoid person they know. And I used to joke about it, how everyone in security is so paranoid, and I'm now one of them. Certainly, I think you're right about it, that, you know, now when I get something, or even someone tries to approach me in the workplace who I haven't seen, like, I'm just really suspicious. In general, I'm not sure if that's a nice thing as a feeling in life, that you're always like walking around and you're always a bit paranoid and you always think like, oh, someone is trying to, I don't know, attack me. But that's a different question. I don't know whether you read about Troy Hunt, you know, who runs Have I Been Pawned? And he was really badly pawned himself.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And I really, like, first of all, I thought it was really great the way that he he made it public immediately. And I think the most interesting thing that he says is, and I'm going to quote him just because I love it so much. He says, I've received a gazillion similar phishes before that I've identified early. So what was different about this one? Tiredness was a major factor. I wasn't alert enough and I didn't properly think through what I was doing. He basically says, well, we all have moments of weakness. And if the fish times just perfectly with that, well, here we are, right? Mm-hmm. This is another factor that we don't address in our training. We need to create habits that stop us from inattentively interacting with email. And the second part is, we should also really stop making people feel ashamed about clicking on a link. We really have to change as like security professionals about how we interact with people who have made that mistake, because everyone can make that mistake and they're not stupid. It's just, you know, we've been busy or we've been duped because this is how our brain works. Our brain is not made to look at every single email. If we have to write 400 emails per day, all coming from external different sources, there's no way that, you know, we can actually look at every single link in detail to check whether there's typo squatting or not. That's just unrealistic, I think.
Responding to 300 or 400 emails a day is a sense as purgatory, as far as I'm concerned. But
this sounds like part of the problem, right?
Yeah, there is research on it, on you know, the people who click and the demographics and stuff. And in the end, it really boils down to phishing is an attention problem rather than a knowledge one. In the end, we're actually all users, right? We're all interacting with computer systems.
If they can't get to the conference and they want to find more information, is there somewhere where they can read up on your research and what you're going to be talking about?
Yes, there is an article which was first published in German in Inside IT, and now it's available in English on our Switch website, which is basically the entire idea of the talk. Yeah, you still obviously have to come and listen to the talk because there are many more practical examples. And where I also link to the research that is being currently done in this field, because there is a growing body of what's called cyber mindfulness, which is really interesting, I think. The title is Resilience Against Social Engineering in the Age of AI, and it's on our switch.ch website, and you will find it there.
Cornelia, thank you very much for taking the time to join us. We really appreciate it. There's lots more I'd love to talk to you about. Hopefully we can get the time to grab a drink at the conference and talk a little bit more about the AI elements of things and how that's inevitably making situations a little bit more difficult, I imagine. Thank you very much, Cornelia. Much appreciated.
Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to the First Impressions podcast, the official podcast for the Forum of Incident Response and Security Teams. We thank you for listening, and you can find out more at first.org, and we hope to see you in Copenhagen, Denmark, June 22nd through 27th. Thanks and goodbye. We'll be right back.